We're starting in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Halacha Aleph. For those that have the standard 8-volume sets, it's page 166, the right-hand column towards the top. Halacha Aleph. The first issue Rav Nosson Zal addresses is Ma Shekoyrin Parshas HaTomid Rosh Chodesh. He's going to explain why it is that the Torah portion that we read on Rosh Chodesh is the portion that speaks about the bringing of the Korban Tomid, which was a sheep that was brought both in the morning, Shachris, and in the afternoon, the Tomid Shel Shachar and Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim. Rav Nosson Zal says, Al pi ma shekosav Rabbeinu Neira Yoir, that this discussion is based on what Rabbi Nachman writes in Likut Imran, in the first half of Likut Imran, chapter 44, I believe it is, Shebechinas Tomid Hu Tikun Hatfila. Rabbi Nachman writes there that the Korban Tomid and everything that it represents helps to correct and improve and perfect one's tefillah. Bechinas. And Rabbi Nachman bases his discussion there on a statement in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tfilois keneged tmidim tiknun, that the prayers that we have today, specifically Shachris and Mincha, correspond to the Korban Tomids that were brought in the Holy Temple in the Beis Hamikdash in the morning and in the evening. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likut Imran, in the first half of Likut Imran, chapter 44, where Rabbi Nachman gives several interpretations of this statement in the Gemara. Now, the way Rabbi Nachman interprets over there, one of the ways is that he says, Tfilois keneged. This is a play on the words. Tfilois keneged. The word keneged means to opposite. When a person experiences opposition to their tefillah, in what manner? One form of opposition is the thoughts that come to a person, all kinds of outside thoughts. A person's trying to concentrate on the words that they're saying and concentrate on whom they're standing before, because we know the Gemara emphasizes that if a person davens without mental concentration, it's like a body without a soul. Such a prayer is like a body without a soul, meaning it's very weak. So that it's extremely important for a Jew to have their mind connected to their mouth when they're speaking words of tefillah. And yet, Rabbi Nachman tells us in many places in the Likutei Imran that one of the times when a person experiences the greatest degree of mental confusion is when they're davening. In fact, Rabbi Nachman says one of the Hebrew words that means tefillah is the word tehillah. And the word tehillah in Hebrew also means toholah, confusion. There's a pasuk, u'bemalochav yosim toholah. Hashem places confusion among his angels. Because Rabbi Nachman says that's one of the most confusing times of a person's day, where a person would want their mind to be on one thing only, and that's the words that they're saying and whom they're standing before, and yet every moment their brain is being bombarded with all kinds of thoughts. Everything in the world comes into their mind at the time that they're standing there talking to Hashem. So Rabbi Nachman says there, Tfilois keneged, when a person is experiencing negdiut, hitnagdut, opposition to his tefillah, what should the person do? Tamidim tikkun. The Korban Tomid is a tikkun for that. And Rabbi Nachman in that chapter gives about 4 or 5 different explanations as to what he means by the Korban Tomid. One explanation is Eretz Yisrael, because we find that the Torah calls Eretz Yisrael Tomid Einei Hashem Elokecha Bo, the eyes of Hashem are constantly upon her. That word Tomid, constantly, consistently. So Rabbi Nachman says when a person is davening, if they picture themselves in Eretz Yisrael, if they attach themselves to the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, that will serve as a powerful shield to block out these outside thoughts, to help them concentrate better. And Rabbi Nachman gives several other explanations. Now Rabbi Nosson Zal tells us, Vehine pegam hatfila hu al yedei pegam halavona shehi bechinas malchus bechinas tfila. we know that there are three things that are referred to as one: Tefillah, Malchus, and the moon. We know that David HaMelech is the symbol of the kingdom of the Jewish people, the eternal kingdom of the Jewish people. And David HaMelech says in his book Tehillim, Va'ani Tefillah, I am prayer. That's what I'm all about. I am wall-to-wall tefillah. That's what David HaMelech's whole life was. And he's the one who wrote the book of Psalms, the book of Tehillim, so that we know that tefillah is synonymous with Malchus, kingdom. David HaMelech, each one of the tzaddikim represents a different attribute. Avram Avinu is chesed, the man of kindness. Yitzchak Avinu is pachad, serving Hashem with fear, with awe, ready to sacrifice himself completely for Hashem. Each one represents something different. David HaMelech, King David, is known as King David. That's what he is, the symbol of Malchus, and he is tefillah. And also we find that the Gemara tells us that the moon is the symbol of Malchus. And the Gemara actually goes on to show how the same path that the moon follows from the beginning of a month through the end of the month, whereby starting from day 1 through day 15, the moon grows. It gets larger and larger and larger. We get to see more of it, more of it, more of it, until on the 15th of the month, the moon is completely full. It's a full circle. Then, starting the 16th, it starts descending, getting smaller and smaller and smaller, till the end of the month where it just about disappears. And the Gemara shows that this is exactly how the kingdom of the Jewish people went. Starting from Avraham Avinu, who is one of the first people in the Torah who's referred to as an aspect of kingdom, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yehuda, and so on and so forth, it climbs until the 14th generation from Avram Avinu was David HaMelech. The word David, Dalid, Vav Dalid, is 14. The 15th generation was his son Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, about whom the Torah tells us that during his kingdom, the kingdom was perfect. It reached perfection. He ruled over heavenly beings and earthly beings. That's the wording of the Gemara. He ruled over the angels, over the Shadim, and he ruled over... So that's when the Malchus was Beshlemus. Just as on the 15th of the month is when the moon is in its fullest. Starting the next generation, the son of King Solomon, that's where the trouble began. The Gemara tells us that he followed the advice. He was given advice by elderly people, and he was given advice by youths. And he chose to follow the advice of the youths over the advice of the elderly people. And this resulted in a split in the kingdom, where suddenly we see the kingdom of the Jewish people being split into two, the two tribes and the 10 tribes. And it kept declining and declining and declining, getting worse and worse and worse, until the 29th generation was Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, who was the one who was blinded. King Nebuchadnezzar had him blinded, his eyesight was taken away completely, etc., which represented, again, the light of the moon being extinguished completely just about, it is at the end of the month. So we see that the Levana represents Malchus, and Tefillah is Malchus. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal tells us, Vehine Pegam HaTefillah, when we talk about a defectiveness, a deficiency in Tefillah, that corresponds to a defectiveness or a deficiency in the light of the moon. Shehi Bechinas Malchus, which is the symbol of kingdom, Bechinas Tefillah. V'alkein, and we know that the moon is defective. Sometimes its light, when Hashem originally created the sun and the moon, they were supposed to be equal in size. The Torah refers to them as Shnei Ma'oirois HaGedoilim, the two large lanterns. And then the Gemara tells us that based on a whole scenario that took place, Hashem ended up diminishing the size of the moon. The light of the moon was decreased. And that's referred to as Pegimas HaLavona, the deficiency, the defectiveness of the moon. V'alkein, and therefore, B'Rosh Chodesh, on the day of Rosh Chodesh, which is the day in Judaism that's declared as the day of rectifying the moon, correcting the moon. Sha'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the day upon which Hashem said to the Jewish people, Haviu Olai Kaporo, I want you to bring a sacrifice on my behalf, Hashem said, for the fact that I committed this crime against the moon in that I decreased its light. The Gemara tells a whole conversation that took place between the moon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How Hashem said, the moon said, why did you decrease my light? Hashem said, well, you know what? I'll give you this and this to make up for it. So the moon said, but so what? Why do I have to be less? Hashem said, you know what? I'll give you this to make up for it. Until finally, in the end, Hashem says, you know what? You're right. You're right. I've wronged you. And in order to show that I'm sincere, the Jewish people, once a month, on your day, on Moon Day, what's Moon Day? Rosh Chodesh, when the moon is reborn. That's the birthday of the moon. When the moon starts fresh again, the Jews are going to bring a special sacrifice for Hashem. It's called Soer Lashem, to atone kaviyachol for Hashem's, this act of Hashem. Oz maschil hatikun shel halavona. So therefore, this day of Rosh Chodesh is the day when the moon is being rectified. Kios mascheles lehismalois. That's the day when the moon starts growing again. Its light is on the rise. Alkein koirenos parshas atomid. Therefore, if the moon is on the rise, it means that the tefillah is on the rise. Because we said before that tefillah and the moon correspond to each other. They're both tied into this malchus, to King David. That's why on Rosh Chodesh specifically we read the parsha of the Tamid Shehi Bechinas Tikun HaTfila Hanal. Because Rabbeinu Zal told us in Likut Imran that when a person is experiencing opposition to their tefillah, the way that they correct it is through Tamid, through the Korban Tamid. Kios Rosh Chodesh Maschel Tikun HaLavona Shehi Tikun HaTfila Kanal. Because it's on Rosh Chodesh that the rectification of the moon starts happening. The moon is being corrected. The light of the moon is being refreshed and rebuilt, built up again. And therefore, that means the tefillah is being built up again. And since Rabbi Nachman, Rabbeinu Zal told us that the way that we build up the tefillah is through Tamid, that's why on Rosh Chodesh we read the Parshas Tamid. Because on Rosh Chodesh we're involved in building up the moon, which is synonymous with building up the tefillah. With this, we conclude. This is one of the very, very short chapters in Likutei Halachos. This is the first discussion on the topic of Rosh Chodesh. Halacha Beis, the second chapter in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. I'd like to go back just for a moment, again, just to remind you that regarding this first chapter that we did, in order to get the different interpretations on what Korban Tamid represents regarding Tefillah, you would look in Likut Imran, the first half of Likut Imran, chapter 44. That's where Rabbeinu Zal discusses this. It's actually in the middle section and towards the end of that chapter. Okay. Halacha Beis, Inyan Rosh Chodesh, Al Pi HaMaimar Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar. This discussion about Rosh Chodesh will be based on the first chapter in the second half of Likut Imran, which is entitled Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar. It's one of the shiurim that Rabbi Nachman gave on Rosh Hashanah, and it was based on the special pasuk that we announce on Rosh Hashanah. Ayin Shom B'Likut Imran Tanina Siman Aleph. Look over that chapter in Likut Imran carefully. Kol HaMaimar Heitev Ad Soifoi. Study, review the entire chapter till the end, and that'll help give a solid basis for learning this halacha, Likutei Halachos. The Kitzur HaDvorim, Rav Nosson Zal says, to summarize briefly that chapter on Likut Imran, because it is one of the long chapters on Likut Imran. It spans about 10 pages. Sheyesh Gimel Midois Sheheim Mafsidin Hayira. Rabbeinu Zal there discusses three attributes of a person which bring down, which decrease a person's fear and respect for Hashem. Shehi Bechinas Yerushalayim. When we talk about a person being pure and perfect in their fear of Hashem, in their respect for Hashem, the nickname that we would give for that is Yerushalayim. Because the word Yerushalayim, the Gemara tells us, is actually two words. Yira, Shalem. Yira means fear. Shalem means complete, whole, perfect. So that the term Yerushalayim represents Shlemus HaYira. When a person is perfect in their respect and awe and fear of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zalveir on Likutei Moharan explains that there are three things that decrease a person's Yiras Hashem. Vehem Taiva Sachila, Umeshagel, Umamoin. These are when a person has an excessive desire for food or for the wrong types of relationships with women or money. In any one of these three cases, excessiveness of it will lead to a decrease of fear and respect for Hashem. Vehem Bechinas Gimel Mishmoiros Havi Alayla. Rabbeinu Zalveir in Likutei Moharan shows the connection between those three things and the three sections of the night. The Gemara in Brachos and in several other places shows us how the night, according to the Torah, is divided into three sections. And the Gemara describes how a person would tell in which section of the night they're in if they didn't have a clock. During one section, they hear dogs barking. During the second section, they hear donkeys braying. During the third section, they hear wives and husbands starting to murmur to each other. They've started waking up in the morning. It's early morning, and small babies starting to nurse. So the Gemara describes the night, the three divisions of night. Vetikunam, which correspond, night is darkness. And Rabbeinu Zal shows there how these three items that we just mentioned, the dogs and the donkeys, and correspond to these three taivos. A dog is known to be the symbol of taivos achila, because the Gemara says a dog is always hungry. The minute he finishes eating, he's looking for food again. You just ate. The Gemara says it's within the nature of a dog. Hashem, va'klovim azei nefesh lo yodu sveya. That dogs have a lot of chutzpah. They're never satisfied. They're never in terms of hunger. So they represent taivos achila. Taivas Momoin is the donkey's braying, because the Torah compares wealth to a donkey. The Torah speaks about Yisachar Chamor Gorem. When Yaakov Avinu gave the bracha to Yisachar, he said he will be like a laden donkey. And the Targum on that says Atir Benichsen, wealthy, very wealthy. So we see that the donkey represents this concept of Momoin, Taivas Momoin. And the third item, when the Gemara mentions wives and husbands starting to speak to each other, or babies nursing, that corresponds to this taivas meshagel, the concept of the relationships between men and women, specifically. So these are referred to as the three sections of the night, meaning darkness. They represent darkness, which symbolizes a deficiency, a weakness in respect for Hashem, fear of Hashem. Vetikunam, and the way that a person would correct and improve themselves in these three areas, to be able to eat properly, not to eat more than they're supposed to, or to be able to have the proper attitude about money or about women. The way that one improves that is al yedei yomim toivim, by showing the proper respect to the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, shehem sholosh regolim. Va'oz zeichin lenevua, and by a person showing the proper respect for these holidays and building up their yiras Hashem, their fear and respect for Hashem, through that a person is zeichet to prophecy al yedei hamalach hanasa al yedei yira, prophecy which comes via the angel that's created when a person has the proper fear and respect for Hashem. In that chapter on Likutei Moharan, Rabbi Nachman goes into this in tremendous detail. He shows how all of these things are connected to each other. Here in Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal is just summarizing it for us very, very briefly, telling us A is connected to B, B to C, C to D, in order to prepare us for a discussion that he's going to give. If you want the details on it and to understand exactly what the connections are, you look into the Likutei Moharan, the second half of Likutei Moharan, chapter 1. V'yidei nevuah zoichen l'tfila. And by a person achieving a level of prophecy, that helps them be zoich also to achieve a success in tefillah. Because tefillah, there's a pasuk that says, Boirei niv sfosayim. Hashem creates the movement of the lips. It's called niv. Niv sfosayim miloshen nevuah. So we see that tefillah, which is referred to as the movement of the lips, is associated with prophecy. V'yidei nevuah zoichen l'tfila. V'azai ein tzrichen l'refuos. And if a person's tefillah is proper, is really the way it's supposed to be, then that person will not have to come on to medicines or medications or doctors. Ki nisrapin al yidei dvar Hashem, because that person will be able to receive their cure directly from the word of Hashem, shehu hamalve hagodol, which is the great lender. And Rav Nosson Zal now gives us a brief excerpt from the chapter on the Likutei Moran related to this. Ki kol koichvayo lovin do min do, because the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us that all the different stars borrow one from the other, meaning that they're all on different levels. Hashem has created the world in such a way that there are higher levels and lower levels, and the lower levels receive from the higher levels. It's as if you would have a lender and a borrower. The lender is the one who has more, the borrower has less, or the borrower has a deficiency, which the lender fills in. So too are the relationships between the different stars in heaven. The upper ones shine into the lower ones. Sihara, Lovim, and Shimsha, the moon borrows from the sun, meaning receives from the sun. V'chulu, etc., etc. And all the different stars receive from the angels. And the angels receive from the higher level angels. And the highest level angels receive from the word of Hashem. There's a pasuk that says, Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu, Uberuach Piv Kol Tzavoam, that the heavens and all the angels were created through the Dvar, by the word of Hashem. So we see that the word of Hashem is what created and what feeds the angels. Now the Gemara tells us that medicines, all kinds of medicines and things that are used in healing and cure, usually come from grasses, from plants, from vegetation, herbs. The Gemara says there isn't a single herb that's able to grow without an angel striking it and pushing it to grow. So we see that these herbs receive their orders, receive their light from the angels. And the angels receive from the higher angels, and the highest angels receive from the word of Hashem. When a person is davening, the words of tefillah that a person says, those are also referred to as the Dvar Hashem. That is the Dvar Hashem. So when a person is involved in tefillah, the right kind of prayer, they're going to the source from which the angels receive and pass it on to the stars, which pass it on to the vegetation, to the herbs, which give the person the medicinal power that they need. Umishom mekablim koyach kol hasabim, and it's from the stars and the heavenly spheres and the heavenly angels that all of these grasses, the plant kingdom, receives its shefa, its nourishment. Avol kishoichazin bebchinas tefila, and therefore, when a person is properly connected to prayer, to tefila, bechinas dvar Hashem, which means he's involved in the word of Hashem, tefillah is the Dvar Hashem, Shehu Hamalve Hagodol, which is the great lender. Hashem is the lender of all lenders. Oz Nisrapin Al Yidei Dvar Hashem. Then that person will receive their cure direct from the Dvar Hashem, from the source of the source of the source from which the herbs get their power. Va'ein tzrichim la'sabim, that person won't have to come on to the herbs at all. Ki nimshach koyach harefuah b'lechem umayim, because Hashem has the ability to place healing powers into bread and water. Doesn't have to come on to fancy herbs, Chinese herbs or herbs that come from who knows where. He can get it from simple bread and water, as the Torah tells us that if the Jews will have the proper fear and respect for Hashem, the pasuk says, kol hamachlo asher samti b'mitzray. It says, va'avadetem es Hashem alokeichem, you will serve Hashem properly, which refers to tefillah. Tefillah is called avoida. Uberach eslach mecho v'smimecho, Hashem will bless your bread and water, v'hasiroisi machlo mikirbecho, and I'll remove all ailments, all illnesses from you. Because all of these herbs, their powers go back to their roots, which is to their origin, which is the Dvar Hashem. And when a person is plugged in properly to the Dvar Hashem, they don't have to go shopping for any fancy herbs or anything. They can get their refuah from bread and water, from the most basic, simple things that a regular person would eat and drink. Rabbi Nizal goes on to show over there in Likut Imran, v'zeh b'chinas hisnoitzitzus Moshiach. And this is all the aspect of Moshiach. And Rabbi Nizal goes on to show there, when Moshiach comes, all of this will be in its greatest state of perfection. And when a person has perfected all of these things that we mentioned, they've corrected their three taivas, the taiva for money and the taiva for food and the taiva for the wrong type of desire for women, and when they're keeping the holidays properly, and when the person is davening properly and they're zeicha to nevuah, then that person is qualified to celebrate Rosh Hashanah properly. Ki Rosh Hashanah hu chesed godol, because Rosh Hashanah is a tremendous act of kindness on the part of Hashem. Shenosan lanu Rosh Hashanah yom hadin b'Rosh Chodesh, that Hashem has chosen Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month, to be the day on which Rosh Hashanah comes out, the day on which Hashem judges all of mankind. She'oz Hashem Yisborach bi'atzmoy kaviyochel mischarit, because Rosh Chodesh is a day where Hashem himself expresses regret for something he did. Kaviyochel, Hashem himself is apologizing on Rosh Chodesh for what he did to the moon. Vo'omer hoviu alai kaporal shemiatati eseireach. Hashem says, I want the Jews to bring this atonement for me, for the fact that I wronged the moon. No, it's that I decreased the size of the moon. And that's what gives us the most incredible opening for us to be able to express our regret to Hashem and to ask Hashem for forgiveness for our wrongdoings. Because if someone has done something terribly wrong to another person, and the one whom they wronged is the epitome of perfection, then for me to approach that person who is perfect and say to him, I'm sorry, I was a shlamazel and a shlamiel, and I did this stupid, ridiculous, nutty, terrible thing, it's incredibly embarrassing. Here I am, the epitome of imperfection, standing before this Mr. Perfect, and I've got to say, I'm sorry that I'm such a nincompoop and a dummy and a, you know, etc., etc. Whereas, what if this Mr. Perfection decides to make it easier on me? And when he sees me approaching him to say I'm sorry, he realizes how difficult that's going to be for me. And he decides he's going to give me the best opening possible. How's he going to do that? By coming to me and saying, you know, I thought of this and this situation, and I realized I did something terrible. I did something wrong. And I really feel sorry and terrible about what I did. When this Mr. Perfection says this, I say to myself, wow, could you imagine? Here I thought he was perfect, and he's showing me that he's not perfect. Even he who seems to be the ultimate in perfection, even he's not perfect. Even he can make a mistake and can apologize. So then I for sure don't have to be embarrassed or feel so, for the fact that I did something wrong. Everyone knows I'm imperfect. And so it's much more logical and reasonable that I made a mistake. And if I made a mistake, if he can apologize, I can certainly apologize. And this is Kaviyochel Hashem's incredible kindness on Rosh Chodesh, that Hashem has designated this day of Rosh Chodesh to be the day where Kaviyochel, Hashem makes it seem as if he wronged the moon and as he has to apologize and he's having this sac- and he did it just as an act of kindness for us to make it that much easier for a Jew to come forward on Rosh Chodesh and especially on the Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, to say, Hashem, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my mistakes, because we're swapping apologies. We're trading, like, in a sense. Ayin Shom Kol Zeh Heitev. Study that chapter of Likutei Moran, chapter 1 in the second half of Likutei Moran, very, very well, and that'll help you understand this chapter of Likutei Halachos very well. Vahanira, paragraph Beis, Vahanira, it appears, Shekuloi Koshur Zeh Bozeh, that all the different concepts that Rabbeinu Zal presents in that chapter of Likutei Moran are all tied to each other, and the end of the chapter is tied in beautiful with the beginning of the chapter. Ki kol ze hu bechinas Rosh Chodesh, bebechinas miut hayoreach umilua. Everything that Rabbeinu Zal discusses in that chapter of Likutei Moran is tied into the concept of Rosh Chodesh, the concept of the moon becoming smaller and the moon becoming larger, becoming filled out. Ki elu hagimel midos shehem mafsidei hayira shibchinas Yerushalayim heim bebechinas miut hayoreach. Because those three items that Rabbeinu Zal discussed there, and Rabbeinu Zal taught us that they decrease a person's fear of Hashem and respect for Hashem, and we said that fear of Hashem is symbolized by Yerushalayim, that word Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. Those three items also represent the things that decrease the size of the moon, the light of the moon. Shemishom yenikas hasitrachra. And it's when the moon's light is deficient, that's when the sitrachra, the satan, is able to draw. Shemimeno kol hataivos rois, which is the source of all the wrong types of desires that people have. Bifrat elu hagimel taivos anal, especially these three, shehem kulam mebechinas miut halavona. All three of these definitely represent, are symbolized by the deficiency of the moon. Ki taivos mishagel nimsheches miaklipo hayadua, shehi bo michisoron hamoiros. We know that when a person experiences bad desires, bad thoughts regarding women, that comes from a specific klipa, a specific force of tuma, that's associated with a deficiency, the deficiency in the moon. Kemoshikosov, as the Torah tells us, that when Hashem said, let there be lanterns in the sky, he said, Yehi ma'oirois berekia hashamayim, let there be lanterns, and the word ma'oirois is spelled without the vav, as if it were me'oras, mem aleph resh tov. We know the word me'oras means a curse. So that this same word that could mean light, when the light is deficient or defective, it becomes a curse. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Yehi me'oras choser, when that word me'oirois is spelled without a vav, do lil. That symbolizes a particular angel whose name we do not pronounce. We don't pronounce the full name of the angel. It's spelled Lamed Yud Tuf. In English, they would say Lil, and then Lith, that term. Sheyinikoso mima'oras choser, whereby that evil angel, it draws its energy from the deficiency or defectiveness in light. Dahainu miut hayareach, of which an example of that is when the moon is lacking, when the moon is deficient or lacking in light, when it's not full. Vegam taivas mamon. We know, for example, the Gemara tells us it's a custom when people get married, when Jews are getting married, that they prefer to get, it's not a law, but it's preferable to get married in the first half of the month rather than the second half of the month. Why? Because during the first half of the month, the moon is on the rise. It's growing every day. It's filling out, which symbolizes blessing. Whereas on the second half of the month, the moon is on the decline. It's going down. It's becoming less. Its light is becoming lessened, which represents the opposite of a blessing. That's this Yehi Ma'oras Choser. So that's the association between Taivas Meshagel, the wrong type of desire for women, which comes from that angel, which is called Lil, which is associated with Lila, the word Lila, which means darkness, night. The moon, the lack of light of the moon. Vegam Taivas Mamoin Tolu B'Taivas Meshagel. And we know that the desire for money, the desire for the excessive desire for money, is also tied into the desire for women. V'yinikosei gamken misham, and also comes from the same place. Kimavur b'divrei Rabbeinu b'maymar tzivi sot tzedek, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses in chapter 23, in the first half of Likut Imran. Ayin mashehevi sham maymar hatikunim, look over there where Rabbi Nachman quotes from the Tikune Zohar. Shekoro taivas v'ashirus askaro l'ravyo, whereby the Zohar HaKadosh refers to the desire for excessive monies as diphtheria for small babies. Mechaychus behu b'utra, it laughs at them with wealth, it throws wealth at them to harm them, b'hai alma, in this world, and then punishes them in the next world. V'zebo mima'oras choser kiyadua, and this also comes from the deficiency, the lacking, the defectiveness in the moon, as is known. This concept of askara, this illness, which is represented by this defectiveness, the deficiency of light of the moon. V'chein taivas achila, and so too, when a person desires too excessive food, when a person eats to excess. Ikra taivo hi bebechinas ubeten reshoim techsar. The main concept of taivas achila is that the person is always feeling like they're lacking. They're always hungry. Just finished eating. They ate enough. They ate enough to exist and to live and to be healthy. And yet the person feels hunger pains. He always feels a lack, a deficiency. Because the food that a person takes in order to keep the body alive, that's not called taiva sachila. Rak mashehu moisrois, it's only that which is excessive. Bechinas beten reshoim techser, as the pasuk says, that the stomach of a rasha is always lacking. When is it lacking? Even when he ate enough. He ate 100% enough, and he still feels lacking, because he's into excessive. He's into that kind of thing. Shezeh bechinas ma'oras choser. This is also tied into this ma'oras, this lacking, chosar, person always feeling a deficiency. Hepech tzadik oichel esoiv anafshoi, which is the opposite of the tzadik who is always eating and being satisfied, always satisfied from what he eats. Shehu bechinas oir mole, which represents a fullness of the light. Kemavur b'maymar vahimi keitz simenun dalid. As Rabbeinu Zal explains, in chapter 54, in the first half of Likut Imran, that soiva, fullness, is a concept of fullness of light also. And hunger, a person feeling hungry, is this concept of darkness, deficiency, lacking. Nimtzu shekol eilu agimol taivois hem b'chinas chisoron halavona, b'chinas moras choser. So therefore, these three desires, these three wrong types of desires, are all tied into the deficiency, the defectiveness of the moon. This concept of ma'oras, ma'oirois choser, where there's a lack of light. V'alkein hem nirmozim b'divar azal b'gibol b'shmoira shel alayla. And this is why the Gemara chooses to represent them, to symbolize them, by the three divisions of night. Night is darkness. Ki mishom yinikosam, ebchinas chisoron alavona, shiamor akoton lememshelas alayla. Because they are associated with night. They draw from the night, which is when the moon is in operation. The moon, this smaller lantern, which Hashem placed to serve at night. That's the one that's associated with these three desires, which are also associated with darkness, with night. When a person has a desire for excessive eating, or excessive money, or excessive association with women, you know, V'alkein he'mafsidim es ha'yiro shehi Yerushalayim. And this is why we learn that these three items cause a deficiency in yiro, in fear of Hashem, which is referred to as Yerushalayim. Ki Yerushalayim he'bechinas malchus, because Yerushalayim represents the malchus, the kingdom of the Jewish people. Bechinas moer hakoton. And we know that malchus is referred to as the little lantern, the moon. The levona is referred to as malchus, as we learned in the previous chapter. Vechein yira hi gam kein bechinas malchus, kemuva. And we know that yira, fear, is something that's also associated with kingdom. There's a famous statement in Pirkei Avos where the Mishnah says, El mole moiro'o shel malchus, were it not for the fear that people have of government, ish esreyeu chayim b'loi, people would swallow each other up. People, so we see that malchus, kingdom, reflects fear. Kingdom places fear upon people. You know, that's what malchus, authority commands respect. That comes the connection between Yira and Malchus. V'alkein elu ha-gimel midos shem yonkim mi-chisoran ha-levono shibachinas miyat ha-malchus alkein he-mafside ha-yira shibachinas Yerushalayim b'chinas Malchus. Therefore, these three characteristics, taivas achila, taivas meshagel, taivas mamoin, which draw from the deficiency in the moon, which is a deficiency in Malchus, they cause a deficiency in one's fear of Hashem and one's respect for Hashem, which is the concept of Yerushalayim, which is the concept of Malchus. Ki kol ma shemizgabrim chas v'shal ne'elu hayonkim imiyot halavona nismayit halavona biyoser. Because the more that these characters who draw from deficiency of the moon, the stronger they get, the more the moon gets pulled further down. The moon becomes more lacking. V'tikuno, and the way that we correct the moon, the way that we fill in this deficiency, this defectiveness, is al yedei yom tov, through the Jewish holidays. Ki yom tov hu bechinas tikun lemiut hayareach, because the holidays represent a time when we perfect, we fill in the deficiency in the moon. Bechinas milui halavana, when the moon gets filled out to its full measure. The light of the moon. Ki hayomim toivim moinin lalavona. Because we know that the Jewish holidays go by the moon, by the lunar calendar. Vehem tikuna kemuva. And they are the days on which the moon gets its tikun. They are the tikun for the moon. They fill in the deficiency and the defectiveness of the moon. V'alkein kol ha-sholesh regolim heim bo'es milui halavona. And this is why the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, come out on the 15th of the month, which is when the moon is in its fullness. Pesach and Sukkot, we know, obviously, and we'll see if Rav Nosson Zal will show us how Shavuot ties into this. Ki heim bechinas tikuno umilua, because these holidays represent the filling out of the moon, the filling in that deficiency in the light. V'alkein nikra yom tov, and this is why the Jewish holidays are called yom tov, a day of good. Bechinas vayara lekim es ha'or ki tov, because in the Torah, the word good is synonymous with light. When Hashem created light, it says he saw that the light was good. Shehu bechinas oir mole, which represents a full light, hepech moir es choser, the opposite of a defective light, a deficient light. V'alkein elu hagimel yomim toivim, shehem bechinas milui halavona, heim mesaknim gimel taivo yisanal. And this is why Rabbi Nachman tells us on Likutei Moran that it's on these three holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, that a Jew has a special opportunity to correct these three desires, to fix anything that's wrong with them in these three areas. Rabbi Nazal explains there that Pesach represents the tikkun for taivas mamoin, because when it came to Pesach, it says when the Jews were leaving Egypt, Hashem instructed them to borrow from the Egyptians everything that the Egyptians had, And the Torah says, Vayash Ilum, that the Egyptians had to force it upon the Jews. The Jews didn't want to take it, implying that the Jews had rid themselves of this Taivas Mamon, of this desire for excessive wealth. Sukkos represents a tikkun for Taivas Achila, because the Gemara says, when does a person feel the desire to for food? When they think they don't have it, or they don't have enough. The Gemara says, when a person has pas besaloi, when a person sees the bread in their basket, then they're not hungry. And you know, that it's, if they have it, if they think they're lacking it, then they feel hunger pains, then they go nuts. You know, they're starving. But when the person feels that they, when they see that they have it, then they don't feel hungry anymore. So too, Sukkos is called Chag Ha'osif, the holiday when we gather in all the grains, all the tool, all the crops. So that if it's gathered in, if it's there, then I don't feel hungry, I don't feel a lack of it. And Shavuos is the night when a person stays up all night and they abstain from relations with their wives. So Shavuos represents Tikkun Abris, the Tikkun for Taivas Meshagel. Shavuos is also the holiday where we eat dairy. And we know that dairy is also the concept of the of Tikkun Abris, where blood turns to milk. Because milk represents a state of purity. Blood, when a woman is bleeding, that represents a state of impurity. And milk represents this concept of purity. And Rabbi Nazal explains over there that when a Jew is zeichet to correct these three taivos, then he'll be zeichet to have prophecy. And when a person is on the level of prophecy, that person is zeichet to pray properly. Because all of this is accomplished by perfecting and filling out the light of the moon, which means completing the malchus, completing the kingdom. And that's where prophecy comes from. Because prophecy comes from the angel who's created when there is the proper fear of Hashem, when there is the proper yira. Rabbi Nazal, in that chapter on the Kut Imran, shows the connection between these things. He quotes the pasuk, Ki ein machsor lireyov. There is nothing lacking from those who have the proper fear of Hashem. The first letters of Ki ein machsor lireyov spell the word malach. That when a person has the proper fear of Hashem, that's when this angel is created, which helps in prophecy. V'hamalach u'bechinas hashchina, and we know that angels represent the spirit of Hashem. Bechinas hineni shaleach lefonecho malach, as the Torah says, Hashem says, I'm going to send my angel before you. K'moy shebi'a Rabbeinu Neir, as Rabbeinu Nazal explains over there, v'hi mashbi'a nevua be'eis sho'ilo l'mala mimokma nevua, and this dahinu l'mala minetzach od yisoy, and this angel, when it rises above the place of prophecy, above the spheroids of Netzach Hoyd Yesoid, this angel shines forth, gives forth prophecy. And Rabbi Nosadol says, the time when this malach, when the malchus, the Shekhinah, which is associated with the malchus of Hashem, rises above Netzach Hoyd Yesoid, is on the holidays, on Yom Tov, as is known in the writings of the Arizal, as is explained in the writings of Kabbalah. Ayin b'maymar hanal b'soif. Rav Nosanzal says, look at the end of this, of the chapter on the Likutei Moran that this halach is based on, where Rabbi Nazal touches on this topic there. Exactly, there's an appendix to the chapter on the Likutei Moran where Rabbi Nazal discusses this topic of prophecy about the angel that's mashpia nevua, etc. Vazai zeichem letfila, and then the person is zeichet to true tfila, shei bechinas malchus gamken, which we learned earlier, tfila is also malchus. Dovid HaMelech said, va'ani tfila. Vazai ein tzrichen lerefuois, and then the person doesn't need to come on to any medicines or herbs. The person is able to receive their cure through the word of Hashem, which is tefillah. Shemisha Mekablim Velovin Kulam, which is the source from which all different powers in the world receive from. Everything receives from the Dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem is the top guy on the totem pole. Under the Dvar Hashem is the angels. Under the angels are the heavenly spheres, the sun, the moon, the stars. Under them are the plants, the grass and the plants and all the herbs. Kikol chorvaya lovin domido, because we said the different heavenly spheres receive from one another. Siara lovom in shimsha, the moon receives from the sun. Vehine ledaktik, vehine nedaktik, lomo tofas mikol alvos hakechovim, mashe siara lovim in shimsha. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, let's try to delve into this a little bit. Why did Rabbi Nachman choose this example specifically of the moon receiving from the sun? Haloi kulam lovin zemizeh. We said that all the heavenly spheres are receiving from one another. Veloma porat siara lovi. Why did Rabbi Nachman choose this particular example of the moon receiving from the sun? And now Rav Nosson Zal goes on to explain this. Ach lefi anira, it appears ki kol halvoas hakechovim shelovin zemizeh, val pize mesnaik seder marechas hashamayim, kol ze tolui b'halvoas siyarim in shimsha. The whole concept of all the heavenly spheres receiving from one another is all tied into this basic example of the moon receiving from the sun. And it's all dependent on that. Dahainu miut hayareach, meaning this deficiency of the moon from the beginning of creation. Shehi b'chinas miut hamalchus, which is tied into a deficiency in the kingdom of the Jewish people. Ukeshe'ein nizgale malchus yizbara b'chinas dvar Hashem, and when Hashem's kingdom is not being revealed in its fullest sense, Azai shayach halva, then everybody's in a state of borrowing. Shekulam lovin zemizeh, everyone has to borrow from each other. Ki misnaik hakol keseder, everything follows the normal pattern. Shezeh mekabel mizeh, vezemizeh, A receives from B, B receives from C, C from D. Avol kishenizgale bechinas dvar Hashem, whereas when the Dvar Hashem is revealed, when it's perfected, when we have real serious tefillah, which is Dvar Hashem, Azai nizbatlin kol ha'alvois, then all of these loans get nullified, get wiped out. Ki oz nizgale shein shum seder chiyuv hateva morechas hashmaim klal. Because then, when the light is in it, when the malchus is perfected, when the Dvar Hashem is perfected, then we don't need any natural events whatsoever. We don't need things to follow any natural patterns. Rak hakoil kasher lakoil kulam keechod mekablim min amal v'agodel v'hadu dvar Hashem. But rather, all items in creation plug directly into the Dvar Hashem, into that special word of Hashem. Ki malchusoi bakoil mosholo. Because when Hashem's kingdom is really solid, it rules over everything. It distributes to everything. It doesn't have to go through a whole chain letter, you know, which takes 35 steps, you know, to go to A, and A will send it to B, and B to C, and C to D. It goes direct from Hashem straight into every single member of the creation. So that just as the uppermost heavenly sphere receives direct from the Dvar Hashem, so too a lowly blade of grass can also receive directly from the Dvar Hashem. Ki ze habal tefila mamshich u'megale b'chinas malchus, b'chinas Dvar Hashem lamata b'olam ha'shofel hazeh. Because a person who's davening properly in the fullest sense, he draws the kingdom of Hashem, which means the word of Hashem, down into this lowly world. Umamshech lekusis baruch lamata, he draws Hashem's heavenliness down. Nimtza shaydeishin is galat dvar Hashem shulchinas malchus shezibchinas tikan alavonim ilua, that by him revealing the Dvar Hashem, which is the malchus, which is the correcting of the moon, the filling out of the light of the moon, oz nizbatel kol haavos mashlovin zamizeh, then this whole chain structure is eliminated. This whole borrowing, A has to borrow from B and B gets from C, you know, that's all wiped out. Ki kulam lovin rak mi'amal va'godol, because all of them receive directly from this, from the great lender, which means Hashem, Shudvar Hashem. Nimtzo shekol ha'avoy shalakuchovim hem rak al yidei miyut ha'yareich v'enem chiyas miyut ha'malchus. So therefore, what we're really pointing out here is that this whole concept of the different items in creation having to come on to each other, this one has to receive from this one, and this one receives from, is all only because of that deficiency in the Dvar Hashem, in the Malchus, in the moon, the light of the moon. And the moment that that deficiency is repaired completely, when the moon receives fully and properly from the sun, then you don't need all of these lend, you know, all of these different chains. V'yalkin dikte kol kochvaya lovin domindo, siarom in shimsha. And this is why Rabbi Nachman chose to use these exact words, that he said all the different stars receive from each other, the moon receives from the sun, because that's the focus is on that. It's because of the deficiency of the moon, and the fact that the moon has to come on to the sun, that's what makes it that everybody has to come on to everybody else. And the moment we succeed in correcting the moon completely, in rectifying the moon completely, in rectifying the Malchus of Hashem completely, in rectifying the Tefillah completely, the Dvar Hashem, then nobody will have to come on to anybody anymore. Everyone will receive direct from Hashem, direct from this Dvar Hashem. I wanted to mention that this topic that we're discussing now, regarding the defectiveness of the moon, the deficiency in light of moon, is one of the deep topics in Judaism, which is discussed greatly in the Kabbalistic writings and in Sifrei Chassidus. And in our Sforum, in the Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal is going to have many, many discussions on this topic, where he's going to bring tremendous clarity to this issue and show us how it applies to each and every single one of us on our own level in our own days. Regarding the tefillah here, regarding all the different things that Rabbi Nachman spoke about and Rav Nosson Zal spoke about, obviously this applies to each person on their level. To the degree that each and every one of us chooses to address these taivas rois inside of us and to try to overcome them, to try to rule over ourselves, not to give in to our desire for excessive food, excessive money, and women, to that degree, we're zeicha to a level of shlemus in Yira, and to that degree, we're zeicha to participate in creating the angel who provides prophecy, which brings forth the Dvar Hashem, you know, this whole chain reaction. It applies to each and every single one of us on our level. And in the book Likutei Tefillos that Rav Nosson Zal wrote, where he writes a prayer on this chapter of Likutei Moran, there he elaborates, applying it how each and every single Jew asks Hashem to play their role in making all of this happen.